Välkomna ska ni vara till ytterligare ett frontavsnitt. Och idag ska vi prata med Oleksiy som är frontsoldat i Ukraina.
Now war is a routine. War becomes less and less personal for soldiers who spend a lot of time doing that. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you have support from the European countries in this war?
Yes, yes, I do. Definitely. No doubt. But I guess it's more from like individuals, like not from the government. From the governments, I would like more. Because we're losing people. We're losing people. We might not lose under other circumstances. Just give us all the weapon we need now, not during 2 years.
Mm. And you specifically wanted aviation and artillery and different sort of
tanks
weaponry
are good
systems
as well.
Yeah. I actually can't think of anything more to ask you, and it's been very informative, and I've certainly learned a lot. And I do want to wish you the best of luck when you return.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I most likely I will have it because I'm in battalion of logistics, so I'm relatively safe now. I think it's to the rest of the guys who are actually right now in the trenches. It's a very harsh weather right now, and if you follow the news, you know that the situation is not very easy, especially Avdiivka region, where they are trying to get to surrender. To close this circle, like around Avdiivka. If you follow, if you're not, then that's okay. It will be difficult to explain.
Okay.
Though I feel that sometimes we can leave some areas to the enemy, not to lose extra people, and not extra people, just to lose people we can save. Okay, but that's another thing.
Yeah. How did it feel like to be interviewed about these things?
I feel vulnerable right now because this is not something that you usually discuss with a person you don't know.
No.
And I'm trying to be honest, and it's very personal, it's very private, actually. Not saying many things that I might have said. I feel like, you know, this is something you want to share, but it's hard to share.
Yeah, I understand. Because there are some things that are supposed to be private as well, that you don't have to share with the world.
I think war is a very private thing. You get to know a lot about yourself. You get to know a lot about yourself that you never knew. So it's, yeah.
What did you find out about yourself?
Uh-huh. That's even more private question.
No, but the thing is that usually you have an image of yourself. I'm like this, and in a situation, I would react like this, and I would say like this, and then when you are actually put to the test, it shows that I wasn't the person that I thought I was, or that everybody else thought I was.
Sort of, yeah. Okay. What I have found out about myself, I feel pretty much coward when I'm alone. I feel like it's too hard if you are, if you stay alone there. This is, yeah, you gotta have a lot of courage, really. But if I am with, you know, my brothers, even just brothers, yeah, I feel responsibility, like, and it gives me strength. And especially if someone needs help, I feel like, okay, so I know what I gotta do, and I do that to help them in critical situations. And that's a good thing about myself. Previous was a bad thing. And I think I am able to stay calm in very hard situations. So that's a good thing about myself. But I'm not sure I'm ready to die. I mean, like, no, you get ready to that when you are there. You cannot do otherwise that work. Okay, I'm not a bad soldier. Let's make a conclusion. That's what I found out about myself. I can do make strong decisions when I'm needed and when I'm not alone. I never knew it.
How has the war changed you?
I don't know. Time will show. I feel like different person, but I'm not sure. I need to quit or like to be deployed from the army to return to the normal life and to have some time to understand what's wrong with me. You know, we all are sick people a bit. All who was there, some are very sick, some are less sick, but mentally, I mean, of course, not only mentally, my health is not that good right now. I know that I appreciate, it's a fun thing, I now when I saw a lot of shit, I appreciate any life but flies and mosquitoes, literally, like any bug. Let it live, don't touch it, don't step on it. And I, you know, guys kill mice, we have mice problems. It makes me upset when I see a cat. Cats are super popular because they help to fight mice. Mice are very destroying, they just bite anything, everything, so they really can spoil important things. And I understand that that is something that needed to be done, but when I see a cat eating the mice, catching the mice, I feel like, oh, God, I wish I could prevent it, but it's got to be done. So, no, on the one hand. On the other hand, it may be controversial, but I was always convinced that life is precious and maybe the most important thing that we have, but now I'm not. I mean, I appreciate life, but it's not number one thing. Okay, so I saw people of great dignity died, you know, not dying, dead. I got used to it in a way, and I accept the fact that they died for something which is bigger than them, the way they died, the reason they died for. So, I'm losing compassion. On the one hand, I'm losing compassion. On the other hand, I appreciate life. It's difficult. And so, for that reason, I'm saying that I need time to return to normal life, to understand what kind of changes have happened in here.
I was thinking of another question. When you were at the front line, and okay, when you weren't out on scouting missions, there weren't any combat, you were just sitting around, what do you talk about?
We don't talk much. At least I don't. No point in talking, I guess. We talk afterwards. Well, no, some guys talk, but it's mostly like trash talking, I guess. Or we are discussing something which is practically need us there and now, or it's like silly jokes, but not too much, you know. I cannot say that we have small talks between mines landing near our trenches and tank shooting to the, you know, tree line in front of us or something like that. Not too much of talking. Maybe when we have a coffee, yeah. Yeah, when we have a coffee, maybe a bit just, but they are silly, they are empty, cozy dialogues, short dialogues. Someone's joking over someone. In practical usage, those dialogues worth nothing. Like, but sometimes they have very, very, very like emotional content. Okay, so.
Is there any single piece of equipment that you feel like this is very, very useful? You, if you are on the front line, this is something you should have with you.
Quite a lot.
Like a shovel. Yeah, like a good knife or some special good tool knife, or some water. Grounded coffee.
Water, no water, especially in the summertime. Without water, it's just horrible. Well, in my opinion, what I have experienced, adrenaline burns water out of your body super fast. And when it's hot, when it's summertime, you just dry. So, like, 3 hours without water, if you're going somewhere doing something, that's terrible. I never thought a person can be that thirsty, unless you are in desert or something like that. So water, shovel, knife, compass maybe, but some night vision if you're going for a night. That's also must have. It depends on the water, on the weather and conditions also. So if there may be a rain, you might use this coverage. I don't know how to translate it.
It's like a raincoat or a poncho.
Coat. Yeah. Can't do this. But never take, it's more important not to take extra things, odd things, I guess. You got to be light. You got to be able to move fast and move a lot. So, I don't know, shovel, weapon, a few extra magazines. Magazines with bullets, what it's called. Yeah. You got it. Yeah, of course, medical kit. Of course, it's must be. And don't be alone. Being alone is quite dangerous in case you are wounded. And connection.
Do you have any means of communications, like telephones and internet and so on, so you can communicate with
Starlink? Starlink. Most of the units have Starlink, and we use generators, like diesel generators, to power them. Time from time, yeah. But then again, it depends on the place, on the conditions. In Kherson, we had Starlink. In Solidar, no Starlink. We stole internet from other units who were in the neighborhood. Borrowed, not stole, borrowed. They gave us permission.
Okay.
So yes, I had most cases I have opportunity to send a message to my wife that I'm okay. I'm good.
Okay, I would like to thank you again. And we've talked almost 2 hours, and it felt like 10 minutes. So
thank you. Thank you very much for that.
And it's been, and I've certainly learned a lot about the conflict and about you as well.
You can ask me, actually, if you have more questions, you can ask me in text.
Yeah.
In the text form. So that might may be useful and interesting for me to answer them. So you're welcome, just ask.
Yeah, it's usually just questions like the name of the unit and some, because sometimes I have a hard time understanding what 23rd name Brigade of the 15th Company and blah, blah, blah. So
I got it. It's a Brigade 46. 46.
46 Brigade, yeah.
Yeah, that's a new brigade. So it was formed, it was forming. It had been forming when I joined it. So, I'm from the beginning of this brigade, in this brigade. Yeah.
And you were with the intelligence company in that brigade, 46.
Yeah.
Mm.
Exactly.
Vi har en väldigt glad och rolig grej att berätta. Det är nämligen så att vi ska för första gången göra ett live-framträdande där vi spelar in program inför publik. Det kommer att ske den 7 juni 2024 klockan 19.30 på kvartersscenen Andra Lång på Andra Långgatan i Göteborg. Det kommer att vara inspelning av avsnitt såklart, och så kommer vi också ha en frågestund och möjlighet att snacka lite med mig och Niklas om det är någonting man har på hjärtat. Och vill ni ha tag på biljetter så går man till Andra Långs hemsida. Det är 2lang.se, det är alltså en 2 och sen lang.se. Så hittar ni biljetter där. Vi ses! Vill ni komma i kontakt med oss så kan ni göra det via vår Facebook-sida som heter Fronten. Det är inga problem för er att leta er fram där. Eller också så mejlar ni på vår mejladress, och det är frontenpodcast@gmail.com.